Today on Hardwired.
I used to have a pair of red lens sunglasses. Now, when I put on those red lens sunglasses, everything I see is red. I can't get away from it. No matter where I look or what I look at, I'm going to see it with a red tint. Your worldview is the lens through which you view everything.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some words of hope, encouragement, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, hardwired.org. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, hardwired.org. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Hardwired.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're starting a brand new series called Change Your Mind, Change Your Life. I'm going to talk about how crucial it is that every Christian on earth develop a biblical worldview by the renewing of your mind. How is it that so many Christians don't have joy, live defeated lives, and hold many of the same beliefs unsaved people do? Well, the answer is found in their worldview and the lack of a renewed mind. Of all the messages I've preached throughout this year, I consider this one to be among the top in importance. So grab your Bible and follow along as we open this new series with the message, What in the World is a Worldview?
I want to talk to you today about your worldview. Your worldview. I'm going to tell you what a worldview is. Don't let that throw you, but I'm going to tell you what a worldview is. And I want to talk to you for the next few weeks. I'm going to talk about your worldview. Because if you were to say to me, Jeff, what do you think is the most crucial need in today's church? I would say the most crucial need in today's church is to have a biblical worldview. That's what I would say. To me, as I scan the church horizon and read articles and keep up on what's going on in the church nationwide and worldwide, it's very clear to me that the church is in trouble because the church does not have a biblical worldview. The church doesn't understand that concept. And so I'm going to bring it to you, and I'm going to open up today with a verse that really illustrates a worldview, a biblical worldview. It's Hebrews 11:3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And let me just read this one verse where a great biblical worldview is revealed. Are you ready? The writer says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. Catch that. The things we see were made by things we can't see. Okay? So the entire universe, everything in it, you and me included, were made. We can see it, taste it, touch it, smell it, feel it. But it was made by what we cannot see, because Jesus said, God is invisible. But invisible doesn't mean non-existent. Amen? So this verse illustrates a biblical worldview. Now, I'm going to pray over it. I'm going to pray over us today because I believe God's going to change us with this series. Listen, I really mean that. I believe God's going to wake some of us up. He's going to put a little fire under us and say, it's time for you to develop a biblical worldview and get out of this world. It's nasty and dirty, and we're to have a biblical worldview. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you today that, Lord, you have given us your word to renew our minds. You've given us your word so that we could be changed, so that our minds can be changed. Thank you for your salvation, Lord. But thank you for the ongoing work of sanctification after salvation, where we are sanctified and set apart and our minds are renewed and we develop a biblical world view. Now, I want you to pray with me, dear church, and those of you watching from home, welcome to this service. We love you right where you are, and thank God you're a part of our family. But pray this with me. Everybody, pray it. Say, Lord, change my mind. If I don't have a biblical worldview, give me one. Show me how to develop one. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn to your neighbor and tell him you're going to be changed. Amen. Now, what's a worldview? Well, how's this for simple? A worldview is how you view the world. Now, if I had up here, and I used to have them, I couldn't find them, but I used to have a pair of red lens sunglasses. I don't know where I got them. Somebody gave them to me. It makes me look like a hippie. But they're red tinted sunglasses, red lens. Now, when I put on those red lens sunglasses, everything I see is red. I can't get away from it. No matter where I look or what I look at, I'm going to see it with a red tint. There is no way I'm going to see it blue or green or white or anything. I'm going to see it red because I'm looking through a red lens. So everything I see has a red tint. That's what your worldview does. Your worldview is the lens through which you view everything. That's your worldview. Now, I want you to notice how the writer sees the entire universe as being created by God. And he's right. It was created by God. But notice how that worldview, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed, constructed, put together, created by God by things we cannot see. What we can see came from what we cannot see. Now, that's a world view. He has an all-encompassing world view. That view that God made everything is the lens through which he sees everything, including how the universe began. See, your worldview is so important. And I'm going to show you why as we go through this message. Notice, the writer is not an evolutionist. He's not an evolutionist. He's not an atheist. He's not an agnostic. No. He's not undecided. I don't know where all this came from. That's not where he is. No, he's looking through the lens of a biblical worldview. So he sees everything. When he looks at the entire universe, he says, God made that. And that is profound. Can I tell you the most important verse in the entire Bible? Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, it's John 3:16. No, it's not. Although that's a great one. Probably the most important one in the New Testament. But the entire Bible, the most important verse is Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, not evolution, not blind chance, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Why is it the most important verse? Because if you can't accept that verse, the rest of the Bible is dead to you. Genesis 1:1 sets the stage for the rest of the entire Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's what this writer is saying in verse 3. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's his world view. And you've got to start there. That's Genesis 1:1. Now, I want to talk to you today about the importance of your worldview, what a worldview is, and the two worldviews that we have an option of choosing. Because there's only two. There's only two worldviews you can have. Now, everybody listening to me right now has a worldview. Every one of you, you have a worldview. There's no way you're sitting in here or watching or listening on radio that you don't have a worldview. Whether or not we realize that we all have certain presuppositions and beliefs that affect the way we view all of life and reality. Your worldview is the lens through which you see everything and the sifter through which you interpret everything. Your worldview answers questions like this. Is there a God? If so, what is he like? What is truth? Is it absolute and unchanging no matter what people wish or want? Or is it relative, like we're told today, and subject to change? Your worldview will answer that for you. Where did the universe come from? Did it come from evolution or did it come from God? Every person alive on the world has got to answer that question, and your worldview will decide it. What is the meaning of life? Your worldview will answer that. Why am I here? Is there a reason for me to be here? Am I here by blind chance? Am I here by mistake? Am I here by some cold, calculating, apathetic evolutionary process, or am I created by a God who custom designed me for a purpose on this planet? Is there life after death? Your worldview will answer that. Are humans basically just smart apes with superior hygiene and fashion sense? Or is there more to us than that? Your worldview will answer that. Your worldview will take all stimuli that comes at you throughout the day, will be viewed through your worldview and interpreted through your worldview. Your worldview determines how you view and respond to issues like abortion, euthanasia, same-sex relationships, your morality, evolution, and almost any other hot-button topic of the day. Your worldview will decide your response and the conclusions you come to about those issues. Your worldview. And here's the real important thing. Your worldview is the seedbed from which all your daily decisions are made. Your worldview is the pivot point from which you will make every decision you make. It will come out of it. It will spring from the seedbed of your worldview. Is it right or is it wrong? Is it good or is it bad? Is it of God or is it not of God? Your worldview. This is why it's so important. Your worldview will interpret all those things. You can be saved and live like the world because your mind hasn't been renewed. Listen carefully. We all behave in accordance with what we believe. You will never take an action that you don't believe something, and that's why you're taking the action. We will all behave in accordance with what we believe, and what we believe is reflected in our worldview. Now, there's only two worldviews available to us today. Here they are. It's very simple. Let me make it really simple. Here they are. A worldly worldview or a biblical worldview. Those are the only two you can have. A worldly worldview or a biblical worldview. Who has your ear? Who is speaking into your head? Who is teaching you about life and living and God and everything else? Is the Bible informing your mind, or is the world informing your mind? Let me tell you what a worldly worldview is in a nutshell. It is when you think like, hold to the values of, and view the universe like an unbeliever. Yeah, a worldly worldview.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple: to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ in a way that gets hardwired into your life. And we trust these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you can only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear. And that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in. Or drop us a line at our website, hardwired.org. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
And believe me, the world is doing everything in its power to train you to speak into your life and to get you to believe what it believes and have the values that it has. And this is my concern for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that a lot of people are saved, they're going to heaven, they got their ticket to fly. But their minds and their lifestyles are being informed by the world. And so they're living like the world, thinking like the world, acting like the world. Their lifestyle reflects more of the world than it does Christianity. And I look at this and I'm seeing it all the time. I'm not talking about you, I read a lot. Some of you are going, it's not you. Well, it may be you. But I'm just saying it's not exclusively you. But see, follow me now. You may be saved, but you don't see the world through the lens of Scripture. But you're seeing it through the lens of the unrenewed natural mind. Watch this, church. When you and I got saved, let me tell you what happened. When you got saved, you were born again. Everybody say born again. When you got born again, what does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit came into your soul and quickened your spirit that was dead in trespasses and sins. and your spirit man, the inner core of you, the eternal part of you, was dead as dead can be. Nekros is the Greek word, and that's the way you describe a dead body. Your inner man, your spirit man was as dead can be. But when you said, Jesus, forgive me, he sent his spirit to live inside of you, and you were quickened. You hath he quickened, Paul wrote. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And our spirit man became alive. And we instantly, 100%, were redeemed and born again. 100%. The work was done in a microsecond. But not up here. Not in your head, not in between your two ears. That needs to be renewed. Your thinking, your stinking thinking, my stinking thinking. We all got saved with stinking thinking. We had the world's values. We saw everything through the lens of what the world had taught us. And God wants to change that. God wants to renew that. So listen to what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 12. He said, don't be conformed to this world, pushed and shaped into the mold of this world, in the way you think and in the way you live, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So notice, every believer, now he's writing to Christians here. He's not writing to the lost. He's writing to Christians. And he's telling Christians, you and me. He's saying, look, now that you're saved, don't let the world fit you into its mold. Don't think like the world anymore. Don't act like the world anymore. You're not of the world anymore. This world is not your home anymore. But he said, don't be conformed to it, but be transformed. How are you and I transformed? How do we grow in Christ? How do we grow into maturity? How do we walk like him, talk like him? How do we bring forth the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith? How do we produce spiritual fruit? He tells us right here, by the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. That is how we are transformed. That is how we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, when we change the way we think. See, God wants to brainwash you. All right? Now, that's usually a negative word, but hey, all of us need our brains washed. Can I have an amen? Yeah, we need our brains washed. And God wants to brainwash our brains. How does he brainwash our brains? By the washing of water by the word of God. That's how he washes our brains. You will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that means to develop a biblical worldview. Hear me again. When he says, don't be conformed to this world, don't have a worldly worldview, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, have a biblical worldview. Because the more I read the Word of God, the more I see life and living and people and everything through the eyes of God and not through the eyes of my natural mind. See, the Bible shows us the way God sees everything. And that's the way we want to be. So notice with me that the more you develop a biblical worldview, the better you're going to understand and walk in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Did you catch that? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If ever I'm confused about God's will for me, I don't walk around and stay confused. I dive into the Word of God. And I begin to saturate my mind with the Word of God. Because the Word of God begins to crystallize and clarify for me what God's will is for me. See, if I want to know and walk in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, I must first be transformed by the renewing of my mind. If you're wondering which way to turn, which way to go, right, left, straight, back, listen, get into the Word of God. It'll renew your mind, and you'll begin to think like God thinks and see things like God sees. Man, I just can't say this enough. If this was my last message on earth, this is what I would preach. Because this is the great need of the church. Let me give you a startling statistic. A recent Barna survey of 2,033 adults discovered that only 4% of Americans have a biblical perspective on life. 4% have a biblical worldview, and we wonder why America is being rocked and rolled by all kinds of trouble and rioting and hatred and division. 4% of Americans have a biblical worldview, but now, catch this one, only 9% of those that Barna surveyed out of 2,033 adults, that call themselves Christians have a biblical worldview. 9% have a biblical worldview. Less than 10%. That means 91% don't look at life through the lens of Scripture. 91% makes me want to cry. You know what that means? That means that only a small minority of professing Christians hold to even 6 beliefs that characterize a biblical worldview. And here they are: belief in the existence of absolute moral truth. That's one. God's moral truth does not change, bow, bend, break, or back down from any civilization, any culture, any person. God's moral truth stays his moral truth. It is a fixed moral truth. It never changes. Every gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no changing, no variableness of turning. He doesn't change. And neither does his absolute moral truth. Here's a second one. God is the basis of all truth. Where do you get your truth? I don't get it from any talk show. I don't get it from People magazine. I don't get it from Oprah. I don't get it from Dr. Phil. I get my truth from the Word of God. And any book that I read that I accept as truth has got to be a book that is bowing to the truth of the greatest book, and that's the Bible. And if I don't get it from the Bible, it's not true. That's a biblical worldview. Third, if you have a biblical worldview, you believe that human beings were created by God, not evolution. Fourth, that he loves us unconditionally. Do you know that a lot of them, 91% of them, didn't believe that? That God loved them unconditionally? What is up with that? Where have they been going to church? Or have they been? Pray and worship regularly. That's what somebody with a biblical worldview does. And seek God's will for their lives. Those are six things that 91% of Christians did not subscribe to. So today I want to begin a series, as I've already said, on how do you get a biblical worldview? What does a biblical worldview look like? How can we develop it? And I want to just start today by giving you one thing, and I think it's probably the best thing, the greatest thing, as far as a biblical worldview. Here's the first thing you must adhere to. You must believe and embrace. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. If you have a biblical worldview, that is a non-negotiable. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He said, well, Jeff, that's easy. You're in church. Everybody believes that. Oh, do they really? Let me tell you. People with a worldly worldview don't embrace this crucial Bible truth. They do not embrace it, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. We live in a day where believing that there is only one way to heaven is considered narrow-minded, anti-intellectual, non-inclusive, and even bigoted. If you go out there in our culture and you say, well, I believe there's only one way to heaven, Jesus Christ, nothing is going to get them to shut you down quicker than that statement. Are you aware that in the book of Acts, when they arrested the apostles and brought them before them, they said to them, the one thing they demanded of them was, you cannot go out and preach the resurrection of the dead in Jesus Christ. You can't go preach Jesus Christ. Say anything you want to, but don't preach Jesus Christ. That was the demand back then, and folks, it's the demand and the command now. I'm going to say it again. We live in a day where if you say there's one way, and church, if you got a biblical worldview, that's part of it, that there is only one way to heaven, and it is by way of Jesus Christ. If you say that, if you believe that, the culture is going to reject you, persecute you, make fun of you, mock you, ostracize you, ridicule you, and consider you to be anti-intellectual, narrow-minded, and even bigoted. I read this week of a pastor of a 10,000 member congregation in the northeast part of the country who recently told his startled congregation, quote, if you believe that not believing in Jesus will send you to hell, that's insanity. You didn't catch that. He had 10,000 people out there, a major mega church, and he said, recently, a couple of weeks ago, if you believe that not believing in Jesus will send you to hell, that's insanity.
Thanks for listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, hardwired.org. That's 877-884-3111 or the website hardwired.org. While you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff. We know they've been an encouragement to you, so be sure to forward them on to a friend who you think needs to hear today's message or any of the messages there at the website. It might be the very thing they need to be encouraged as well. Again, the website is hardwired.org or call us at 877-884-3111. If you haven't been to the website lately, jump on over there and take a look at all we have for you. One last thing, your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Hardwired is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift through our website, hardwired.org, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly do appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Hardwired.